Hey everyone, welcome to, I know this sounds weird, but the podcast where we talk about all things spooky, ghosty, spiritual, and esoteric. I'm your hostess, Allie Lemieux. Guys, I am so sorry for being late. You know, the whole like 11 of you that listen to me right now, I love and appreciate every single one of you guys. I had a really hard time kind of deciding, not coming up with, but deciding on what I wanted to talk about. And it was so funny because I've been going back and forth with one of my friends, like on Facebook Messenger, but instead of like actually texting each other or like picking up the phone and calling each other, we're just sending each other voice messages. And as I was kind of talking about it, it came to me and I was like, oh, this is so perfect. So basically what I was going to do was just talk about my different experiences in my life. Maybe find a couple extra like random stories, right? Well, as I was like saying that to him, it kind of dawned on me what I wanted to talk about. And I want to talk about imaginary friends. And you guys can't see the air quotes, but I'm doing the air quotes. So I don't know how many people have experienced this before. It seems really common where children will have imaginary friends and it turns out to be a ghost or a spirit. So I definitely wanted to chat about my experience because this happened to me and kind of tell you a little bit about how it all went down, a little bit of the history of the home I lived in. I know I talked about that before, but maybe a little bit more in detail. And then I have a bunch of stories that I found. Again, they're all from Reddit, so I will post the writer's handle in the show notes to give them credit, so definitely check that out. But yeah, if you have any imaginary friend stories or any other stories, please, 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 please send them to me. My inbox is dry as a bone. I need some stories, guys. I'd rather tell yours because you guys are awesome. So my email, if you'd like to share your story with me, or if you just want to tell me and don't want me to read it, like on the podcast, I totally get that too. But my email is, I know this sounds weird, pod@gmail.com. Send me your stories, no matter what they're about. It doesn't have to be about ghosts. It can be about cryptids. It can be about spiritual stuff. Anything you want to tell me about, send it my way and we can talk about it. So just to kind of get started, a little bit about my story. So my family is from Maine. I'm not from Maine. I was born in Virginia. I lived in Maine for about 5 years, but I pretty much spent most of my life in Virginia. When we did live in Maine, we lived in a town and at the time probably had a little over 2,000 people in it. Now it's like 3,500 people. But it was a small town. And in that town, it was Maine. So it was full of those Victorian style homes, that classic New England style home. They're beautiful. They were ornate and big. So the house that I lived in, I started off like with one section of the house and then they added on more and then they added on more and then it just kept growing over the years, basically. So it had been many different things. It was the founder of the town's home. It was a doctor's office. It became a pants factory. I think a doctor's office again. I think it was at one point like a nursing home type thing. And then it became a private residence. Another cool thing about the house was that there was like an apartment up in the top. So it was like, I think it was a one bedroom apartment. I only remember going in there a few times. But I think it was just a one bedroom apartment. kind of common in New England to have something like that. And a lot of people would rent that out, obviously to help pay towards the mortgage, which the houses up there right now are maybe like a house like that might cost you close to 100,000. They're not expensive. So, but regardless, it would help pay towards the mortgage, things like that. Sometimes people had like nannies or whatever that lived there. So it's really not uncommon to have a built-in apartment on a house. So the house is really old. It was actually one of the first, well, it was the first home built in that area. But it was from like the 1800s. And I don't remember the exact year they started construction on it, or the first portion of the home was built. But it was the 1800s and it was really old. So the house wasn't like your classic like wraparound porch or anything like that. It was more of like a shotgun style home, so kind of like one of those long and skinny homes, but like wider, if that makes sense. And like my room was at the front of the house. It was above the porch area. So below my room was actually like the outside. And it was like I had three windows around. I had a window like that was on the front and then one on either side. So it's actually a really big room, especially for a kid my age. And my room was like a peachy color with white trim. And I had shelves put up because my mom decided to start getting me porcelain dolls to display. And I had a big ornate, like wrought iron bed that my parents painted. It was white. And it also, like, I don't know if they did this back then. I think they did it recently, but like, the posts on it, they actually painted like the top part of it gold, but I think that's something they recently did because they still have it. Anyway, when I was a kid, like I said, I had those porcelain dolls and they were displayed. I only had a few when I was really little because I always wanted to play with them and I wasn't allowed to play with them because they were breakable, that kind of thing. But I had this one. And she had dark curly hair. It was kind of long. And it was like curly, as in like almost like curling iron curled, not natural. And she had like a blue dress on, and it was more of like the old fashioned style dress. Then I had another one that was like blonde, and I think I had another one that could have been like later on. But I started off, I know I had two. And when I was little, I was probably close to two, maybe three. I don't even remember. It was so long ago, but I was young and I had imaginary friends. And my imaginary friends, their names were Shayna and Jekka. So Shayna and Jekka, not very common names for the state of Maine. However, as I've gotten older, I think Jekka was actually supposed to be Jessica, and I just couldn't say Jessica. But Shayna, I know is right. And I remember as a little girl, Shayna looks like my porcelain doll with the brown hair. She had brown hair and an old-fashioned blue dress on. Jekka, from what I can remember, I'm calling her Jekka because that's what I called her when I was little. It could have been Jessica. Jekka didn't look like my dolls. And my mom, when I was little, thought that I basically turned my dolls into my imaginary friends. And she asked me if the other one looked like Jekka. And I said, no, my dolls don't look like Jekka. And that's because I believe that Jekka was a little girl of color. And I kind of have these images. You guys have to understand, this was like 30 years ago. So I don't fully remember everything very well, but I have this face in my brain when I think about Jekka. And she was a little girl of color. And I remember a cream, like off-white colored dress that she wore. She didn't look dirty or anything like that. She looked like just a normal girl. She just didn't look like my dolls. And that's what I kept telling my mom, was that she didn't look like my dolls because she wasn't white and both of my little dolls were both white. You know, this was late 80s, early 90s. So anyway, I used to play with them all the time and I'd play in the yard with them. And I remember them showing me things in the yard, like showing me where to go to find things in the yard. And I remember like them telling me to dig in certain spots. And it was weird, but they would take me all over the yard. They would take me all over the house. I remember them telling me I could make peanut butter and taking this hammer and using peanuts and like smashing the peanuts, trying to make peanut butter, which is really weird. I don't know why I would think to do that as like a, you know, 3 or 4 year old kid. But most of the time it was harmless. I do remember playing with them like in my room. I remember playing with them in the living room area with my dolls, like my Barbies, not my porcelain dolls. I was not really allowed to play with those. But overall, like they never left the house. And there were a few times that we would leave and go somewhere and my mom would ask if my friends were with me. And I said, no, they're at home. Because they always stayed at home. They never went anywhere with us. And that's kind of what makes me think that I had ghosts as imaginary friends. For one, I'd never heard, you know, those names before. Maybe I had heard Jessica. I don't think I had anybody in my family named Jessica. There were some weird names in the state of Maine. Like one of my friends, her name was Teplin. We went to preschool together. So Teplin is not a very common name. I don't know anybody else named Teplin. But anyway, I had, you know, these two friends named Shayna and Jekka. They only stayed at home. I don't really remember too much else about them. Just more or less like playing. It wasn't anything scary. I wasn't afraid of them. They were probably my age or maybe a little bit older than me, I think. And we would just play with the dolls and play with my kitchen and just have fun. I mean, I had two older brothers, so having two female little girl imaginary friends was kind of nice. I do remember one time, though, they kept trying to get me to slide down the banister. And I think I got in trouble for that because it was not safe. But we had a big wooden banister at the stairs. And I wanted, or like, I basically like tried to slide down it thinking that it would be faster than like walking down the stairs. I don't know. It's just weird things like as I'm sitting here talking about it that I'm recalling and I'm like, I don't know. I kind of remember, like I said, it was a long time ago. So basically, you know, like I said, I want to talk about people's experiences with imaginary, pretend that you can see my air quotes, imaginary friends. And if you've had any of these experiences also, please definitely send them my way. I definitely want to read them. I think it's pretty cool. It's way more common than what most people think when it comes to paranormal because it's kids, so it's like, oh, they're just active imagination. They're just making it up. But at the end of the day, they could literally be seeing a ghost and talking to a ghost, and parents just write it off as their imagination. Okay, so today I do not have any stories to share from anyone I know or any that have been sent in because, like I said, my inbox is dry, guys. I need your stories. So, I have a bunch of stories. A lot of them are kind of short. That I found, like I said, I sourced from Reddit, so I will post all of these in the show notes with the writer's handle as well, so you guys can see who wrote them. So this first one here is called My Daughter's Imaginary, in quotation marks, friend. In 2013, my wife and I divorced, and we both moved into separate homes. The divorce went well, and we were still good friends to this day because we have a daughter together. We agreed to split custody over our daughter, and I rented an old house in a historic district in the city where we live. It was a very pretty home built in 1935, but kept up well, very well. I would have my daughter 2 weeks at a time, and she had a bedroom in the back of the house. She was 3 years old at the time, and I kept noticing her talking to her friend. One day, I found her in a little closet talking to someone, and I remember her saying she was talking to another little girl named Betty. I have no idea where she heard the name Betty, as she was only 3 years old. But I chalked it all up to a child's vivid imagination. Keep in mind, I'm a single dad to a little girl. I really have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to dressing, hair, or just little girl stuff in general. Her mother is good at that stuff, but not me. I put my daughter to bed one night after her bath. I remember brushing her hair that night, but that was all I did. The next morning, her mom came to pick her up from my house, and my daughter was just waking up. Her mom went back to her bedroom to find my daughter's hair was fixed in two perfect French braids. Her mom was real proud of me at first that I had done her hair so cute, but I told her I didn't and I couldn't do that. I can't even braid her hair, much less do perfect French braids. We asked her daughter how her hair got fixed, and she told us that Betty had done it during the night. I broke the contract on the rental agreement and moved out within the next month. So I think that's hilarious. First of all, why are you gonna leave when you got a ghost that's like doing your daughter's hair and helping you as a single dad? First of all, I would stay. That to me is not scary. But I think that story's so cute that this little girl was talking to someone and had her hair done. It seems kind of crazy and out there. I try not to be too skeptical about this stuff, but I am a healthy skeptic. So I'm kind of wondering, how legitimate this is. But still, nonetheless, this is really cute. And I would not leave if a ghost was just doing my child's hair. Like, that's okay. That's not something that's malicious or anything along those lines. That is just a friendly spirit who's still sticking around that wants to help out. So I definitely would have stayed. On to the next story. All right. So this next one is called Great Aunt and Great Grandma. Used to be my little girl's imaginary friends. This happened a few years ago, but today my daughter made mention of something that chilled me and reminded me of that. My great-grandma was widowed at a very young age. She was left with two little girls, and she rented a house that over time the kind family that she rented from told her that she would not be paying rent anymore, but that the payments would now be against the house. Same amount and all. Great-grandma Quito, that was her nickname, taught her daughters how to make dresses, and they became the most sought-after dressmakers of the town. When I got remarried, my father lent us that very house, and my middle child used to play and laugh and chat by herself. While on rest after my C-section, we slept in the room where my great aunt Margarita and my niña Quito used to sleep. And when she grew up, she loved to play in that room. One day, when she was about 4 years old, I asked her who she was talking to, and she responded, "Oh, with my friend." "Me? That's nice, dear." "Her? She used to live here, you know?" "Me?" Stopped washing the dishes. "Beg your pardon?" "Her? Yeah, she did." "Me? What's your friend's name? Can you ask her?" "Her." "Oh, I don't need to. She's Margarita, and sometimes Mary comes to play too if she's not too busy." Mary is the name of my great-grandma. There's no way she could have known it, nor of my great-aunt Margarita, who passed away about 3 weeks after she was born. She had become very interested in visiting the graveyard, almost like an obsession. And one day we took them there, showed them where our relatives had been buried, and that was the end of her interest. We thought she had perhaps found it boring. Now we moved to another house, but she kept some stuff in the old house. Dad is going to rent it, and I mentioned it to my husband because that meant we'd have to clear it. My daughter, now 12. Good thing Margarita and Mary left then. Me and my husband looked at each other and then to my daughter. Me, what do you mean? Her, oh, they wanted us to visit the graves, and while there, they said their goodbyes. They didn't come back home with us. Me, did they ask you to visit them? Her, yeah, they wanted me to take them there. Your grandma was waiting for them. They all wanted to leave together. My daughter took our ancestors to the graveyard so they could leave. Also, more ancestors were waiting for them. So that's pretty cool, honestly. Like, how neat is it to be able to take your ancestors to other ancestors to have them cross over and move on? Like, I think that's amazing. You know, maybe they just couldn't quite find their way how to, like, move on and move forward. But I definitely think that's really cool. And with the culture and everything, visiting, you know, other relatives and being there, I think that's pretty incredible. Very different type of imaginary friend, but still none the same. I think it's really, really interesting. All right, so this story is super short and sweet, and it's called Mr. Jones, an Imaginary Friend. Shortly after moving into my own bedroom, when I was around 5, I started telling my mom about an old man called Mr. Jones who would visit me late at night and tell me stories. This continued for 2 years. My family joked at how imaginative I was. I talked about his dog Spot, his wife Mary, even his red car. When I was 7, I swapped rooms with my mom and never spoke of him again. When I was 14, we were having a barbecue out of our back garden, and our neighbor joined us. For some reason, my imaginary friend, Mr. Jones, was brought up, and that's where it gets strange. She said the old couple who lived in the house before me were called Harold and Mary Jones. They also had a dog called Spot and even a red car. I recently bought a Wi-Fi camera and it picks up a crazy amount of orbs, but only in that room. I should note I'm a skeptic, but I can't deny I have experienced strange things. So I'm going to throw out there orbs or dust. Sorry, guys. I do not think that orbs are legitimate paranormal evidence. Did I think that years ago? Yeah, because I watched the TV shows. But now as a paranormal investigator, I know better. Most of the time it's dust. Very, very, very rarely is it anything more than that. It's one thing if you see them with your own eyes. It's another thing when you catch them in photos and in like video. So just wanted to throw that out there. I think this is super cool that this guy was able to like have these conversations, you know, as a kid with this man, Mr. Jones, and only in that room. And then many years later, you know, almost 10 years later, the neighbor confirmed all of that information. And it's like, oh, how did I know that kind of thing? It's super cool. I think it's awesome. Personally, if I had some, like, I don't know why, but this whole story reminded me of my uncle, and he passed away a couple years ago. And honestly, like, his stories were my favorite to listen to. He had stories about everything. And for some reason, this just really reminded me of that, because I feel like that's what my uncle would do. He'd just come back and tell all his stories, because that's what he absolutely loved to do, was sit on the porch, drink some whiskey, smoke a cigarette, and listen to the loons while he told his stories. So I think this one's really cool. All right, so this next one is called My Childhood Imaginary Friend Was an Actual Ghost. When I was very young and living in our generational family home, I had this imaginary friend, in quotation marks. She was a kind old lady who used to play dolls with me. One day I was telling my dad about her, and he started to freak out a little when I mentioned her name was Helen. Turns out it was the same name as my grandmother. The more I described her to him, the more he saw the similarities between my friend and his mother. She died when my mom was about 7 months pregnant with me. My dad hadn't mentioned her to me at all due to my age being so young, below 5 at the time. So he was baffled as to how I came to know her job and had knowledge of the things that she had done throughout her life. To me, all this didn't seem supernatural at the time. I was just spending time with this nice old lady. As I got older, she would visit less and less until I was about 7, and she told me she had to go away for good, but she enjoyed our time together. After a big chunk of time passed, we ended up deciding to build a new house on the land after demolishing the family home. When I was packing everything, I ended up just upending my drawers onto my bed. When I looked at the pile of clothes from my drawer, I noticed the newspaper lining that had always been at the bottom of the drawers had stuff in it. Turns out underneath were my grandmother's first aid and nursing certificates, as well as many other documents and pictures. Almost all the pictures were over 40 years old, except for one. It was a picture of my mother holding a sonogram up to my grandmother, and she smiles happily. When I showed all this to my dad, he freaked out a lot more than the previous time and still gets weird if I bring it up to him. I've never experienced anything since then, but I still remember her vividly. I absolutely love this because it's almost like the visitations that I talked about, that her grandma got to spend some time with her when she was young and at a point where she would have memory of her. Most of us really don't remember, you know, much older than like four or younger, sorry. We definitely, well, I don't know. Some days I don't really remember much older than four. But no, we don't remember much younger than 4 years old, maybe five, you know, right around that age. I have very few memories of like two. I don't really remember anything before that. But most people don't remember themselves that young. And so it's kind of cool how, you know, it was at the point in time when she would start having those memories kind of sticking with her and everything that she was able to remember it. I'm kind of sad that her dad gets weird about it because I think it's so sweet. And I wish that people would be a little bit more accepting of those type of like visitations and things like that. I honestly wish that people would be just more thoughtful, especially how they act around children, so they don't make them scared of it. Because a lot of times there's really nothing to be afraid of. All right, so we're about halfway through the stories for tonight. So this is going way faster than I thought it would. I was hoping that I had enough on here. I have 8 stories, plus my own. So I was hoping that was enough to cover all of it, but these have been kind of short this time around. So, this might be a shorter episode, guys. Sorry about that. All right. So this next one is called My Imaginary Friend, Charlie. Back when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend named Charlie. From what I remember, Charlie was around from the time I was about 4 years old up until I was 9. When my family moved to a different house. So I spent 5 years talking and playing with Charlie. My parents encouraged it because I didn't have any real friends or siblings, and it wasn't uncommon for a lonely kid to create an imaginary friend to play with. I was a loner and still very much am today. Charlie told me he used to live at my house before my family moved in. I believed him because we often played hide and seek and he knew all of the best hiding spots. He knew things about the house that even I didn't know about at the time. A couple times I asked him where his parents were and why they didn't live in the house with him, and he never gave me an answer. After a year or so, he started asking me to do strange things like stealing change from my mom's purse, hiding my dad's car keys so he would be late for work, random, mischievous stuff like that. When I refused, his requests became more sinister, telling me to push my mom down the stairs, start a fire in my parents' bedroom, etc. Of course, again, I refused. Charlie became more cold, and instead of wanting to play, he only suggested doing things to hurt me or my parents. I was scared of him. I never told my parents what he said, only that I didn't want to play with him anymore. When we moved out of the house, I didn't bring Charlie with me. I forgot about him for many years until a few days ago when my mother asked me if I remember having an imaginary friend growing up. That's when all this started to come back to me. I did some research into the history of my old house and found out that there was indeed a young boy named Charles whose family lived in the house about 15 years before mine and apparently died at a young age, but I couldn't find any information as to how or where he died. Is it a coincidence that my creepy imaginary friend and the kid who died in the house shared the same name? Why was he telling me to hurt my parents? Did I imagine him or was he a ghost? I'll never know for sure, but feel free to share your opinions. So kind of creepy, but not unusual. I do. Everyone wants to scream demonic, and I know everyone wants to scream demonic. And you guys will learn with me on this podcast that I don't believe in demons. I do believe that there are spirits who are complete assholes. But I do not believe in demons in the sense of the Christian belief in them, which is what most people want to believe when they talk about demons, or that's what they're referring to at least. So what I think this is a little boy that maybe passed away young, and he is a mischievous spirit. And as this, you know, the person who wrote the story, as they're getting older, the spirit's realizing there's more he can do, and he's probably pretty impressionable. So trying to take advantage of that, maybe the spirits just, you know, obviously want to be mischievous, but also at the same time wanting to maybe cause harm due to the fact that maybe the way he lived, anything like that, he couldn't, you know, maybe he was mistreated while he was alive kind of situation. And it's like his way to get back at his parents, even though they're not his parents, they're the living child's parents kind of thing. So there are a number of different things that could explain it. I kind of believe it. The reason why I believe it is just the fact that, like, more or less, like, even though he's saying, like, oh, you know, hide my dad's keys and push my parents down the stairs and set fires, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, like, with information about the child living in the house 15 years before they did that died, named Charles, I mean, that's pretty good evidence to say that that's who it was, that spirit. And, you know, even though he doesn't have any more information about how that child died, it could possibly be that even if they had moved out of there and he died, he came back because that was the childhood home. There could be some unresolved issues or anything like that that's connecting him to that home, and that's the reason why he was there. And he could have been using the person who wrote this story as a way to kind of make his childhood better. Even though he didn't, you know, the spirit is who I'm talking about, spirit's childhood better, Charlie's childhood better, kind of thing. I'm just kind of rambling at this point, but I definitely feel like this story can definitely be truthful. I'm not too skeptical about this. I definitely obviously would not scream demons. I know a lot of people would, and they probably did in the comments, but I try to stay away from those. But yeah, very creepy. And it's also interesting to me and pretty cool to me, in my opinion, that he was able to find that information that kind of correlated with what he experienced. So, or he or she, sorry, I don't think I know, but whatever they experienced. Okay. So this next one is just called Twin. I recently found out that I had a twin brother that died at birth. I'm not sure how to put this down without people calling bullshit on it, like everyone else in my life has that I have told. However, when I was a child, around 5 to 8 years old, I had an imaginary friend that I looked and that looked and talked exactly like I did. However, I told people about my friend, in quotation marks, they would just say I was making it up for attention, but I would hold conversations with him, basic conversations that a five-year-old had, and I would play games with him. Around the time I turned 8, and got moved into foster care, he just went away and I never saw him again. I'm now 19 and I had a conversation with my mother and older sister about my imaginary friend, expecting them to make a joke, but both of them clammed up and refused to talk about it. So I went and spoke to my grandmother about it, and she told me that I had a twin that died at birth. It turns out he was born 2 minutes before me and died before I was born. I don't know if I'm crazy, but I'll always stick to the fact that my imaginary friend was real and was exactly like me in every way. This story is sad, but very awesome at the same time. And it kind of goes along with the fact, like, that twin connection that people have when they're twins, they kind of have like this knowing. It's almost like a psychic ability in a way that they can kind of feel what each other's feeling and things like that. But I definitely think that this was the person's twin talking to them, spending time with them, kind of being there for them like a twin would be. I wish that they had stayed with him when he was in foster care, because that was probably really hard. But still, like, this is a really interesting story and it's very sweet. And I'm glad that they had some confirmation from their grandmother about, who this imaginary friend could have been and why they looked just like them. All right, so it looks like I only have one more story for you guys. I miscounted on my sheet here that I have everything on. So this last story here is called Mary. So something really creepy happened to me a couple days ago, and I thought it would be a perfect story for this group. It's a true story. When I was 10 or 11, growing up in my childhood home, we had this spirit in quotation marks. It wasn't a ghost or anything you could see, but strange things would happen, like lights flickering, random toys would turn on, I'd hear whispers, etc. My siblings and I named the spirit Mary, and that's just what we called it to seem less scary, I guess. I currently live in my childhood home, and I was downstairs doing some laundry with my 4-year-old son. I was folding clothes, and he was playing with his toys on the table. He was playing, and then he just stopped and said, "Oh, hi." And started talking to whom I assumed was an imaginary friend. I asked him, "Who are you talking to?" He says, "Oh, just my friend." So I said, "What's your friend's name?" And he says, "Oh, her name is Mary." Me. Bunch of emojis. Literally, blank face, blank face, shocked face. Screaming face, peace out, and two running emojis. Lots of emojis here, guys. I've never told my son about Mary because I didn't want to scare him. Needless to say, we don't spend a lot of time in the basement anymore, and we don't talk about Mary. Definitely pretty scary. I love this story just because of their reaction. I can definitely understand, like, especially the correlation between like the writer's like past with having weird things happen, and a way to make it less scary is that they name it Mary and give it like a personality kind of thing. And then the fact that their son is just like, "Oh, I'm talking to Mary, like you should know this," kind of thing. I would probably be a little weirded out, but at the same time, like, I think personally, I would think it's super cool because that's who I am. But I absolutely love this story. I think it's really cool. I don't know that I would just stop talking about Mary. I think I would be the person to use my kid as a way to talk to the spirit more and learn more about them, who they are, why they're there, what messages do they have? I mean, this is probably the reason why I don't have kids, is I would just use them as a tool to communicate with spirit and learn more about the afterlife and spirits in general. But that's personally what I would do. I know most people aren't like me and don't really want anything to do with the afterlife and what happens after we die. But I'm a Scorpio, so I am intrigued by everything mysterious and unknown. So I think it's really cool. Well, guys, sorry for such a short episode. I feel like I really want to make them like at least an hour long. I honestly like choose to do that for the binge listening aspect of it. I don't know how many people are like me where I let podcasts kind of build up over time and then I binge all of them. Because I spend a lot of time in my car, so I love to be able to listen to the same one kind of back to back to back. But that's what I do with like Netflix and stuff too. But anyway, thank you guys so much, all 11 of you so far. I hope that number in the future is a lot bigger. But thank you guys so much for like listening to me tell these stories and talk about my life and my thoughts on all of them. I hope it's not boring. I hope you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, please, please, please rate, like, subscribe, all of the above, whatever it is, please do that for me. I am on all the streaming podcasts, so whichever one you use, please give me a rating. Please subscribe and continue to check me out. Also, send me your stories. Like, your stories can literally be about anything and everything. I can't talk right now. It's already been long enough. but send me your stories. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me, you know, give me feedback. Tell me what I should talk about more of. If I'm not explaining things enough, if I'm not making sense, tell me, help me get better. but yeah, just send me your stories. It can literally be, like I said, about anything and everything. If you want to talk about spiritual stuff, send over your stories with that. I personally, I think I've said this before, but I'm not a witch, but I'm more than happy to talk about that kind of stuff. I dabble a little bit in astrology. I do tarot and oracle card readings. And I'm also a Reiki healer. So I am very big in the spiritual community too. So if you have anything in that realm that you want to talk about, but send me your ghost stories, send me your paranormal stories, your cryptid stories, anything and everything that is unknown, send them my way. And that email address, which I'll also put in the show notes, is, I know this sounds weird, pod@gmail.com. So send me your stories, your thoughts, all of the above, to my Gmail, so that way I can share them. If for any reason you do not want your story told, or you want to be anonymous, or you want me to change the names, anything, please let me know in the email so that way I can make those changes. But or not tell the story. But yeah, thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen to me. I hope you enjoyed it. But until next time, creep it real and stay spooky, guys.